As you know, we've been talking about Rahab the last couple weeks and the Scarlet Cord or Scarlet Thread. And you know what? It just took me on this rabbit trail, so I'm going to expound on that today. And then maybe we'll get to Ruth next week. Most likely we will. I'm not going to touch everything, but there will be some references that you'll want to jot down and look at later. Okay. So Lord, just be with us today in a way, Lord, that brings forth your grace to all of us in Jesus' name. It has been a season, I'll tell you. Lots been going on in the spirit realm, and a lot of big things, but a lot of little things too, that they're just low blow from the enemy. So I just want to recognize that out loud and say we're not falling for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start with Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, and I read this last week, and I love this scripture. Again, as I said, the last couple of weeks, Rahab's story is like an adult fairy tale, right? I mean, just how, she's the heroine, and just the whole context of the imagery that's implied in her story, and how that imagery of the scarlet thread, the scarlet cord, is woven all throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And so I am going to expound on that, beginning with Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I love, love, love that scripture. And we will find that this whole imagery of scarlet or red and white is throughout, like we mentioned earlier. And it's really the story of guilt and purity, mercy and forgiveness. And the biblical association with scarlet is both sin and sacrifice. So, in Genesis, when we look at the story of Adam and Eve, and we mentioned it last week about how they fell and then covered themselves with fig leaves, and then the Lord, secured animal skins for them by blood sacrifice, and how Adam, his name means man or mankind and humanity. And in the Hebrew, it's Adamah, Adamah, and it means ground or earth. And it also implies a red or a scarlet or the color referring to both earth and blood. So there's another avenue that you can look into. But it's interesting that when Adam was created, that he was made of the earth, and that he has this image of red earth, so to speak, and that's also preview and a foreshadowing of not only the Lord in coming in, cloaked in humanity, but also royalty, in that the royal blood was shed on Calvary for our sake. So the root word for Dam or Adam, that part of his name, means blood. Human life, blood, symbolic of man's duality, part divine and part earth. The first part of his name is Aleph, Aleph, and Dam means earth, and it means blood and ground, and it actually means son of man or human being. And we know from pastors preaching that, he talks about Jesus being the human being, you know, the absolute perfect human being as well as divine. So we see this duality all the way from Adam and carried through throughout the scriptures. And Adam he's designated as a species, which is human, of course, and designed by God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19, we will read that. 9:19. And this is a reference to Moses. When Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, again, reference to Isaiah chapter 1, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is Moses, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So again, we see back in the Old Testament this reference and foreshadowing of what Jesus accomplished when he fulfilled the shedding of blood and sacrifice. But we see Moses also as a type of Jesus in the Old Testament, and that Moses himself, as a type of Jesus back in the Old Testament, had the sacrifices and sprinkled the people with blood, which I thought was really interesting. And also, when he did that, he sprinkled the covenant or the law and the people both. And it's written saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." So Moses is establishing a covenant with God back in the Old Testament, and we see it realized and manifested in the New Testament, which I thought was really awesome. Again, the reference for that, if you want to read it in the Old Testament, if you want to write it down, it's Exodus chapter 24, verses 8 through 11. Now we'll see again, let's go to Exodus chapter 26. We'll see again that whole issue of the scarlet thread. What did I say? 26, yeah. 26, 14. Exodus 26, 14. You shall, this is the structure of the tabernacle. "You shall also make a covering of ram skins dyed red or scarlet for the tent, and a covering of badger skins above that. And for the tabernacle, you shall make the boards of acacia wood." And it goes on describing the structure of the tabernacle. But the whole tabernacle was covered in ram skins and badger skins, and it was dyed red. Now we know that this is an image and a picture of Jesus being the true tabernacle, right? He's the true temple. You know, in fact, he said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it in 3 days." He was talking about his own. So this also is, again, finding God in the Old Testament and seeing that foreshadowing and that imagery again. The scarlet or the red colored the linen curtains of the tabernacle. The place where God met his people was symbolically back then covered with blood, with ritual sacrifice or of the animals. And the blood reinforces the image again of sacrifice. So again, this is a image and a symbolic image of what Jesus fulfills in his very own body in the New Testament. Also, if you look at Leviticus chapter 14, just write it down because you can look it up on your own. Verses 4, verse 6, and then verses 49 through 52, it talks about the priestly garments. And the priestly garments, they had the breast piece, the ephod, and the robe, and the tunic, and the turban, and a sash. And the colors of the priest's garment were all those colors of royalty: gold, blue, purple, and scarlet. And it was also with fine linen, which was typically white linen. Okay, and we see reference to that in Revelation later on, right? But on the priest's ephod or breastpiece was the 12 stones, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And there also is included in those stones red or scarlet gems. That reference is Exodus 28, verse 33. And in that particular scripture, it talks about the priest's hem. Okay. And on the hem, it was embroidered by skilled craftspeople with all of these colors that we described, and the scarlet or the red as well. And I love this so much. When I was looking up the hem of Jesus' garment with that woman with the issue of blood, when she touched his hem, she knew what she was touching, because the hem of the priestly garment was called a wing. So when you look at all those scriptures about he shall arise with healing in his wings, it he they and we are covered by the shadow of his wing, that she knew prior to, because being raised in that culture, what she was actually doing when she touched the hem of his garment. She touched his wing. She came under the covering of that wing. And also too, when that story happened, we know virtue came out from Jesus, and she received healing. But what she did when she touched him was she plugged into, like you would into a power source. She put a demand on that power by faith. Okay, so I love that story, and I love how everything in the scriptures means something way more than just what we see at face value. And to me, it's inspiring, and we've been talking a lot about, prophetic imagination in church. And so I'm really hoping that when we're talking about the scriptures and we're looking into this stuff, it generates inspiration for you to look at your own and to think, wow, and have something to contribute when it comes to, seeing God's story unfold before us and all the meaning. That's why this word here, it's living. It's living, and it gives life, and you're never going to know the depth of what the scriptures mean, right? Because the scriptures are all a portrayal and an image of who God Almighty is, and we will spend eternity, learning about him. And that right there shows you how grand of a scale his glory is, and that we're never going to arrive. For all eternity, we're going to be learning, So I guess it would be good to maybe develop some of those skills here on earth, right? Just practice learning, practice when something hits your heart, that you follow through and search the scriptures and pray about it and talk about it with people and see what they think. And that's what I'm hoping that happens, because it always happens to me when we're hearing a word from the pulpit. There's something that's triggered that's beyond what's even being said, that's personal for me. See, God knows our language. He knows exactly what it's going to take to appeal to us and to create and generate that desire for more of him, you know? And he does that by revealing his person, and mostly his person in the subject of love and forgiveness, you know? I mean, that's what he's all about. It doesn't take away from judgment, but judgment and mercy go hand in hand when it comes to the Lord. Okay, so again, there's a reference, I believe. Oh, I gave you that one. Okay. Hold on 1 second. I lost my train of thought. In Genesis 38, verse 30, now we did talk about Tamar, you know, back in the day, and how she was jilted by Judah, right? And how she wanted to honor the law by producing an heir because her husband had died. And so that was the culture back in the day. And so Judah promised that he would give after the second son died and made her a widow again. Can you imagine? She was a widow for how many years, right? And then she has a birth. But how many of us wait for something of life to come forth? You know, sometimes it seems like I'm going to be in these clothes of mourning through this crisis and this relationship and this situation or whatever forever. And then God shows up and life is birth, right? And how many of you know too, usually birth isn't all that pleasant, you know? Sometimes before something comes forth, we experience some difficulty, sometimes less than other times, but usually that's pretty much a pattern, I believe, in the scriptures, that a lot of the things in nature demonstrate God's ways, you know? So in Genesis, when we were talking about Tamar, the firstborn son was, when there were twins, the firstborn son was always wrapped in a scarlet thread. And in that story, it's interesting that the first son, I don't think, it was Perez, and I forget the other one's name. I forget something with a Z. But anyways, he started to come forth and he retracted his arm and he had the scarlet thread around him. And then his brother Perez came forth and he was actually the one that was chosen for the lineage of, you know, the Davidic line and all the way to Jesus. But isn't it interesting that even when something is coming forth, God knows his plans, and he retracted that, and the child of promise, which was Judah, and we can see by his story, he was messed up too. You know, he wasn't always obedient. He was, you know, I mean, the fact that he was a widow, he was probably lonely or whatever, he gave into temptation and he slept with her, you know. And it's in the genealogy, she's written as a heroine, so to speak, right? And it, to me, in our culture, that doesn't make sense, that, you know, she was perceived as a prostitute. Then Judah wanted to slam her, you know, and discount her and put her to death. And then he finds out he was the guilty one. And you know, we see that story again with David, you know, and Bathsheba, and we'll mention her later on in the study. Same thing, you know, when the prophet Nathan came to David and said, "You're that man, you know, that took the only sheep that this guy had," and he says, "I'm the man." So sometimes God orchestrates, like with Judah or with David, he orchestrates a scenario so that you get to the point where you confess or cry uncle. Jacob, you know, wrestled with God, and finally, you know, because he cried uncle, because he gave in to the Lord, he had a total name change and personality change, you know. And so that's what happens when we wrestle with God, if we don't let go. You know, you know, when we wrestle with God, when we wrestle with crisis or situations, we want to have the attitude and the demeanor that says, you know what, God, I'm in this fight with you, but I'm not letting go till you bless me, you know. And you know, God honored that. It's funny though, his ways are not our ways, you know. So Again, oh, it was the other boy was Zara, by the way, and his name meant scarlet and brightness, and yet Perez was the one that broke out. Kind of interesting. Okay, we saw last week the scarlet cord or the scarlet thread, and we talked about how it was woven all throughout the scriptures, right? This imagery. And it's also seen in Genesis chapter 37. Verse 3 is a reference, if you want to write that one down. But we know the story of Joseph. He was the favored son, right? He was clothed like royalty and he was marked as the father's heir. So you see these foreshadowing thoughts here of God, right? He was the favored son, you know, he was marked for to be the father's heir, and he was given a costly robe that was made of those royal colors, purple, white, scarlet. Okay. And we see in that story, he's given the coat, you know, he's marked out by the father as the heir. And then again, trouble comes, right? And it's all serving God's purposes ultimately. So we see next in the story, when Joseph's brothers betrayed him and they were going to kill him, but they ended up selling him instead. Look, human trafficking way back then as well. Excuse me. So his coat was stained scarlet with blood, and it was taken back to the father to show that he was dead. You know, and finally in his story, Joseph's coat is exchanged for a linen one and sent to the courts of the Gentile king. So it all served God's purposes. You know, like with Joseph, oftentimes you are given a calling, and this has been explained over and over again from the pulpit. We're given a calling, and we have to wait. Paul waited, Joseph waited. Look, I don't know how long Jesus waited in eternity before he came to earth. We don't know that. And that's something to think about, really, right? And so anyways, sometimes waiting, in the words of one of the children's books that I read to my grandkids, waiting isn't easy. It's Mo Willems, by the way. Great, great author. Anyways, so we see then Joseph's coat, right, stained with blood, is exchanged for a white linen one and sent to the courts of the Gentile king. And that was ultimately God's purpose, right? And that's so much an image of Jesus, you know, and his blood sacrifice. And then look in the book of Revelation, you'll see, you know, he's glorious. And you'll see on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's beaming with brilliance and light. And you know, it's just, oh, it just makes me so excited to read the scriptures, you know. And then last week we talked about how in Matthew 27 they stripped Jesus and put on him a scarlet robe. And I said last week, I never realized that mention of scarlet was in there again. They put the scarlet robe on him, a crown of thorns, and the scepter or the reed in his hands, and they mocked him. But in all of that, he was everything that they were saying. It was true. When it was written, he was king of the Jews, and it was on, you know, above on that cross labeling him. And they said, oh, just say that he said he was king of the Jews. But, you know, Pilate said, nope, I wrote what I wrote, and that's it. You get what you get, and you don't throw a fit. So when Pilate said that, Pilate, even though he handed over Jesus to be crucified, he was still being used by God to speak the truth. And oftentimes, people will speak truth to us. They may not even be believers, right? But God speaks. He speaks, you know, through all manner of things. Now, I'm not Pastor Oz, and I know Pastor Oz can get God out of reading a scripture on a tea bag. I'm serious. And they do have scripture tea, right? But he's the senior pastor. He's going to get more than we get, right? But he sees God in everything that's not of earth, because he's no earthly good.
Yeah.
I think one day he's going to be on those hoverboards, coming in. No, just kidding. But no, but seriously, his job as senior pastor, he said it last night at the Tuesday night meeting, his job is not to see what's wrong, but to see what is redemptive in that person and draw that out. And he talked about modality, how we all have our modality, some, and that's all, the ways that we learn or the way that we're wired. I'm a visual and a hands-on learner. Some people are audio, some people are, reading or whatever. Some people are a mix of all those things. In fact, I did a CPR class a couple of weeks ago for this respite thing that I'm doing. And I swear I told Emmy during the break, you got to pray for me. I think I'm flunky. I'm the only one I think is flunky. It's like Lucille Ball does CPR. And it's like, okay, hold the dummy to your right. No, your other right. Oh, I mean, and then wait, and then we had the dummies. I don't know why I'm telling you this. And then we had the dummies on the floor, right? And we're doing the 3 inch deep. That's deep, right? So we're doing that, and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm having I had Charlie horses so bad in my legs. I'm the only one, and I'm like, and she looks at me, and finally I had to do the dummy on a table. So I did end up doing it, but I just and the thing that was so profound to me in the whole class, as she's giving these directions, audio directions, I realized more than ever, I am not an audio learner. I am not. Say something, and I have to do it. I have to read it. Or I have to really, really focus and concentrate because I have a tendency to wander, but if you show me, or like to me, I love stories because it's an image. I love have those word pictures people give you, and it stays with me. And, that one of the most famous stories that we've done in this church is the dog story that Ozzy talked about when the dog got out of the yard. I'll never forget that story. So anyways, that's my little bit on my CPR class. By the way, I did pass, which is a miracle, but I really, really thought I wasn't going to do it. And honestly, if anything happens to any of you, call Mary Jo. I probably forgot everything I learned,
On the floor.
Yeah, I know. I'm telling you. So again, there's a couple things that I want to tie in here with this whole thing. And I hope that you really are inspired to look into, just Google in the scriptures, a scarlet, and find out, all the places it is. It was the curtains, the very thing that kept God's presence, behind. And it was what, 30 feet thick or something like, I mean, it was really thick. And when Jesus, went to the cross and it was ripped from heaven to earth. There's no human being that could open that curtain. I mean, because that curtain really was his flesh, right? That gave us the opportunity to go in and have fellowship with the Lord. How awesome is God? How awesome is he that he gives us that opportunity? Wow. And you know what? We take it so for granted a lot of times, like, oh, I'll just get to you later, Lord, And there's times when, he says, I miss my time with you. I miss my time with you. God wants to be with us. He longs to be with us. He's not waiting, for us to, make ourselves ready. Because That's the very genius of the gospel. We can't do it, right? Okay, so let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Chapter 9, let's see. I'm going to read starting in verse 11.
Read this one.
9, verse 11. Now, again, we know Jesus is the high priest, right? But as heirs of the Father, what are we called? A kingdom of priests, right? But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not the shadow, not the preview, but the real deal, right? Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. I was talking with Loretta the other day. We were talking about the cross, and she got so upset. She goes, "You mean Jesus has to go to the cross again?" I go, no, just once and for all. But she was very upset, and I'm so glad that it was once and for all. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, thank you, Lord, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Right there, guys, right there, it says the Spirit cleanses our conscience from performance, from trying to earn God's favor, right? From dead works, because anything apart from him is dead works. And we cannot outperform and gain God's favor. You know, we just can't do it. And I will say this. It's performance or trying to earn God's favor is way more subtle than you think. Way more. Because we have that list. I was good today. I didn't swear in the car. I was nice to people. Right? That's performance. I'm in good standing with God because I did everything I was supposed to do. I was a good kid. No. Or we compare ourselves to others. That's another way that we walk in performance. Like, well, I'm not as bad as Jan, you know. But really, the truth is I'm not as good as she is. Okay, let's go. We'll keep reading a little bit. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Amen, amen. Hey, for where there is a testament or a will, there must also of necessity be the death of the person. So in order for us to inherit, we have to have had Jesus die. He had to go to the cross in order for us to be his inheritance. Do you know that is the favor of God? He calls us the Lamb's reward. He calls us his inheritance. Wow. Doesn't that smack against all those lies that the enemy throws in you? Oh, you're just a screw up. You're never going to mount anything. You're just blah, 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 right? Okay. For a 17, for a testament is in force after men are dead. Okay, you know, the reading of the will, right? Since it has no power at all while the testator, while the person lives, okay? There's You can enact a will if the person's still living. This is the whole genius of God in that he took upon himself and then expressed his will, you know. And where's the reading of the will? Here in the scriptures, here in the spirit. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. Remember Moses. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Again, that's that same scripture that we started early on with. But isn't that awesome that Moses as a type is portraying exactly what Jesus did and fulfilled in his very person? And one of the things about the priests, when a high priest was transferring their authorities as a high priest, they would give their garments. And so when Jesus, as high priest, called us the kingdom, a kingdom of priests, he transferred his purity, his garments, his blood, his, that scarlet, and that he was robed with covers us. And we are all made new in that covering, you know, that we like Joseph have royal robes. Wow. Wedding garments. Wow. You know, and then lastly, I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures after I get, this scripture read, just so you can read on your own, because there's so many super, super good ones. But 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, I will read. But you, fill your name in, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God and God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So, Lord, with that, Lord God, may we walk in the royal calling of who you say that we are, Lord, not in pride, but as holy people, a holy nation, a holy bride, and that we would walk with our heads held high, that we are your special treasured possession, Lord. And may you fill our mouths, Lord, with praises, Lord God, of how you have translated us from darkness to light, Lord, how you have given us your garment, Lord God, that you have given us, Lord God, such a high calling and such a privilege being called your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, with that, I'm done, but I do want to give you a couple of scriptures if you want to look them up on your own. Louise, I'm going to need my phone. Wherever that is. Oh, here it is.
Right there.
Okay, great. Okay.
In the
Old Testament reference, it's Exodus 19, verse 6. In the New Testament, again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Isaiah 61, 6. And Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. Thank you, my little Zoombies, for being here. God bless you. I will see you this coming Lord's Day. Amen.